Hello, I'm Hannah Pearson from Per Anderson. This week, Gary and I both gave presentations at the ASEAN Tourism Research Association's forum, and this is the second presentation by Gary on transformation in travel, tapping post-COVID consumer aspirations and expectations.
Thank you very much, Jenny. Thank you, Poova. Thank you, everybody, for the opportunity to speak today. Jenny and Poova have asked me to give a slightly different focus to my presentation. When we talk about travel and tourism, we tend to often focus on governments, tourism boards, and the travel industry itself, but often gets missed out are the most important people, the travelers, the consumers. So a lot of the work that I do, I work with hotel groups, I work with international consumer and travel research companies, I work with brands, I work with marketing companies, trying to find out really what is actually happening in the consumer sphere. Now, a lot of the things that we have learned over the past year is that some of the trends that we saw going into the pandemic have accelerated, particularly in terms of online consumption, live streaming, shopping online, those kinds of things. Some new ones have developed and some have fallen away. But it hasn't been an entire bust this whole year. We have learned a great deal about the way that consumers think, the way they interact, and most importantly, the way that they buy. Okay. So where are we at? This is where we're at right now. What are the contexts of travel right now from a consumer perspective? Well, if you go back across the 2010s, the last decade, particularly here in Southeast Asia, we saw a decade of growth. We saw travel become much more aspirational, much more experiential, and very importantly, very hedonistic. We were able to travel. We had freedom to travel. There were more airline routes. There were more networks. There were cheaper flights. The availability of travel across our region enabled so many more of us to travel more often. 2020, obviously, that all came to a grinding halt. And as the previous speakers have mentioned, last year was entirely a domestic travel year. It was very sanitized. We were very risk averse and we looked at safe travel. 2021, with the advent of vaccines, we're looking at a year of hope. But there are so many questions to answer. And these are from a consumer perspective. So when will I be able to travel again? How long will my travel vaccine passport last? What will be my travel restrictions? Will I be trapped wherever I go? You know, will I have less destination choices? Will the cost of travel increase? And most importantly, will I be welcomed wherever I travel? We've seen over the last year, cases of discrimination against travelers from certain countries. A lot of countries haven't welcomed international travelers for right now a year. Possibly by the time it recommences, it'll be 18 months. There's going to be some issues there about dealing with international travelers coming back into local communities. So how are consumers themselves actually rethinking the meaning of tourism? Now, that's quite an important point because we've all had a year to sit back. We've been at home a lot of the time. We've been working from home. We haven't been able to travel. And we've actually been rethinking about how travel, the role it plays in our own lives, whether it's business travel, whether it's leisure travel, whether it's domestic travel, international travel, it doesn't really matter. We've had to really rethink a number of things. COVID-19 has actually made us think about our own human vulnerability. It's made us aware of this term pandemic, which scared the life out of us a year and a half ago, and now we just use it almost casually. But when we are able to travel again, you know, how will we be thinking about what travel actually means? So what are we rethinking? Well, I think we're rethinking our inspirations to escape. You know, as I mentioned before, travel previously up to the beginning of 29 was all about emotions. It was about aspirations. It was about experiences. We were selling, the travel industry was selling experiences to travelers who wanted to go and experience something new in different destinations, whether that was cultures, whether that was cuisines, whether that was Dr. We said, whether that was driving in another jurisdiction, whatever. But now we have a lost year behind us. And a lot of the research that we're finding with consumers in China, in Southeast Asia, Hong Kong, other parts of Northeast Asia as well, is that we really want to unpause our life. We've had a whole year where our life is on hold, but we want to feel special again. We want to get out there. We want to discover. We want to escape reality and escape routines. Now, if you look at the way that a lot of people are purchasing online at the moment, a lot of the products they're buying, they're trying to substitute for the experiences that they used to have. You know, we aren't able to do a lot of the travel that we want, so we're actually treating ourselves to a few more luxuries that we probably wouldn't have done otherwise because we're not spending some of our discretionary income on travel. Some of the things that we've missed over the last year, we've missed family fun. We haven't been able to travel together, whether that's as a small family, an extended family, whatever. We've missed a lot of celebrations. I'll come back to that in a moment. And we all want a retreat to romance. We'd all like to spend time by a lake, by a beachside. But we are coming to a point where we have to make pragmatic decisions. Whereas travel used to be very aspirational, very experienced, and very emotion-driven, the restrictions that will be on place on the way we travel for the next year, 2 years, maybe, whatever, means we're going to have to make pragmatic decisions. Again, if you look at consumer purchases online over the past year across Asia Pacific, environmental elements have really taken hold. There really has been a move, particularly among younger consumers, towards this hashtag of Save Our Planet. People understand that this has given not just humans a pause to reflect, but the planet itself a pause to reflect and our natural resources to replenish themselves. So you're starting to see a lot of hotel brands are starting to introduce earth-friendly amenities into their bathrooms. There's been a huge innovation in solar wearables. So whether you're wearing, you know, whether you're tracking your movements, like with a Fitbit type thing, or you have a backpack where you can actually use solar power to recharge your mobile phone or your smart devices, those things are starting to happen. We're seeing a lot more biodegradable packaging and utensils in daily life. We're seeing upcycled and slow fashions. But generally, we're seeing this idea that you must reuse, recycle, and replenish. We've also seen, particularly in Southeast Asia over the past month, a bit of a social media backlash against KOLs that don't live up to the standards of environment. I've got some case studies of those which I can share with anybody who would like to know. We need to rethink the moment. Travel is going to be all about in the moment. Now, it probably was before the pandemic, but it's going to be even more so. This is going to be hyper-accelerated. There's going to be so much more live streaming, live interactions, live engagements, and live gamification in our travel experiences. There's going to be live competitions and challenges to try and engage us to travel. Now, if you look at those two pictures there, they actually were from a Chinese travel company called Ma Feng Wu. The one on the right is from Spring Airlines. It's a live interaction that they introduced. But you can see those screens are very busy. There's a lot of interactions on the screen while the actual activations are happening. They're very participative. The next generation of travelers want to be involved at every single moment. And I think although we came aware that travelers love to take selfies, they love to take wefies, they love to take videos before they travel, during travel, and after, everybody travels with an audience now. Social media has integrated everything, every element in, and these have become even more sophisticated over the past year. So the use of travel and technology are going to be much stronger and much more diversified than ever before. So how are consumers rethinking their motivations to travel? What is it that's going to make us travel when we're able to do so again? Well, aligned to the point I was making about rethinking the environment, the value of nature is going to be very, very important. You know, we are going to want to escape. When we travel, we're probably going to want to escape crowds. We want to escape metro stations, airports. We want to get out into real life. We want to go to river valleys and remote landscapes. We want to see the rainforest and rare wildlife. Now, Southeast Asia has these in abundance. It's up to travel players and tourism boards to really engage consumers, really create new ways that people can enjoy nature. That's something that I'm not entirely sure that we've done before. We've always relied on the kind of national park ethos of travel. But there are much more ways to enjoy nature. Even if, like Dr. Wee said, if you're driving, there are parts of nature that aren't in national parks that you can go and enjoy. But we have to signpost those. We have to make them available. We have to make people aware that that's what you can do. But what about cities? Now, this is an interesting point that we're starting to see with some of the consumers that we're researching with. They are quite aware that you're still probably going to have to fly in and out of cities when you travel. Dr. Wee mentioned this, you know, the last mile part of your travel will be you drive out, you radiate out from the cities. But that doesn't mean that city tourism or urban tourism is going to disappear, quite the opposite. So we have to be ready for the fact that although travelers want to get out into nature, they're still going to want to enjoy all the elements of a city that they've been missing for the past year. Rethinking life landmarks. Well, this is really, really going to be a huge driver of travel when we're all able to travel more freely again. So maybe not this year, but maybe in 2022. And particularly weddings and honeymoons. Weddings and honeymoons are really going to drive travel in this region, I would say, for the next 2 or 3 years. Haven't been able to have destination weddings for the past year. And there's a lot of built-up momentum for people who want to get married. Now, the picture you see there, that's from the Maldives. Maldives reopened successfully to tourism last July. Their real strong suit is destination weddings. But it's not just the weddings or the honeymoon itself. You've got to looking at setting up engagement backdrops for pre-ceremony photo shoots, for proposals. There have been a lot of underwater wedding celebrations in the Maldives, I think also in Philippines, in Cebu. They did an underwater Valentine's dining experience. These things are going to be really, really crucial. Thailand and Vietnam have both been engaging quite strongly the Indian market because they want to bring back the luxury weddings because they're huge revenue generators. They bring a lot of people in for a lot of time. Thailand was quite strong on that pre-pandemic. Vietnam wants to get in on the action. And then, of course, in addition to weddings and honeymoons, you have milestone birthdays and anniversaries, those celebrations that we haven't been able to share with family and friends over the past year. Rethinking active travel. Well, this links very closely to the environment and to being healthy again. There are a lot of opportunities here, and I think this is something that younger people in particular will want to do when they go and travel. They're very aware of their health and fitness. You look at the products that they're buying online. It's all about well-being. It's all about nutrition. It's all about keeping the body and the mind active. And travel will be no different, and in fact, even more so. I think when people want to travel again, they will be looking at taking up things that they probably didn't do before, whether that's hiking and cycling, whether that's doing a trail run, whether that's surfing, perhaps learning to surf, whether that's yoga and meditation. It doesn't really matter, but I think that this will be a big driver of the way people want to travel in future. Rethinking gourmet inspirations. Well, this is going to be absolutely vital. Culinary tourism was huge before the pandemic. I think it will be even bigger afterwards because we all want to eat. We all love eating and travel. We all love trying new cuisines in new destinations. It really comes down now to how do tourism boards, how do restaurants, how do cities, how do they reposition their dining experiences? Because it's not going to be just about the restaurants that you go to and the foods that you eat. Tourists, particularly, we've been noticing in China over the last 3 or 4 years, are very interested in the gourmet backstories. What is it that the chefs know that you don't know? What are the backgrounds of the chefs? How do you find their ingredients? How do they source new products? What innovations do they bring from their travels around the world before they cooked in the restaurant that you're in right now? How do you make food a massive experience beyond the restaurant? Now, there have been a few elements here. Durian tourism has really kicked off here in Malaysia, trying to take tourists who, particularly from China, who like to buy durians, import durians in big numbers, taking them to the plantations to see how they're nurtured, see how they're packaged and processed and exported. There's an ice cream brand in Indonesia that's actually doing tours of its ice cream factory. But at the end of the tour, it's enabling guests to actually make their own flavors and their own combinations, which makes it more participative. But what we really need, I think, in this region is the real big culinary events, the iconic events that really bring people, cultures, and food together. Now, if you look at those three that I mentioned there, La Tomatina, which is in Spain, you know, that's the big tomato fight at the tomato season where people join together, they crush the tomatoes, they throw them at each other, and then they eat them afterwards. The truffle hunt, also very popular in Europe during truffle season. You can go out and find and dig these incredibly expensive and beautiful truffles. The same with the Beaujolais run in France once a year when the new bottles of red Beaujolais become available. There's this huge drive around the region trying to find the best and the earliest new bottle. Rethinking my mode of travel. Well, Dr. Wee set this up beautifully for me because this is exactly what we're looking at. This is self-drive tourism, and this is going to be one of the biggest drivers if, as Dr. Wee says, the region is able to come together and make it happen. Australia and New Zealand have been very successful at this over recent years, particularly with Chinese travelers. They've learned that Chinese travelers love the freedom to be able to rent a car, a camper van, or a motorbike and hit the open road. They have beautiful landscapes. A lot of them are coastal landscapes. And this enables people the freedom to build their own itineraries, to go to the places that they want to get off track and to go and see countries for themselves. It's going to be absolutely vital. And I think we've seen in lockdowns in Southeast Asia, a lot of domestic travelers have driven to places they probably wouldn't otherwise have gone to in their own countries. But we have to find a way to make this available to more people when travel recommences. Dr. Wee explained very, very well about the road network across the region. But there are a few new projects that are coming to boot which really will help. So Thailand is looking at a new Thailand Riviera road route. Vietnam is looking at a new coastal road. The China-Laos highway through Laos is about is partway built right now. And in Malaysia, we're building the Pan-Borneo Highway on the island of Borneo. So there are new projects that are coming on board. They will take time to construct because they're roads. They take a long, long time. But they do give rise to this hope that self-drive tourism can really be reinvigorated across this region. Rethinking travel retail. Now, one of the misnomers, I think, that we've been reading in the travel press over recent months is that everybody is shopping online right now. So when travel recommences, they won't want to shop when they travel. Don't believe it. I do not believe it for 1 minute. The figures from China prove absolutely the opposite. So if you look at Hainan Island, Hainan Island is a tropical getaway. It's an offshore island off of China. Very, very popular. Lots of resorts. It's very popular with for weekend getaways, public holiday getaways. Now, last year, the number of travelers from mainland China to Hainan Island fell about 18% across the year. But there were still about 54 million visitors across the year. Now, if you remember, I just said that 18.4% in terms of total numbers was a drop-off. The sales of duty-free products increased 127% on the previous year. Now, there are various reasons for this, and I won't go into all of them because we don't have time. But I would just say, don't disregard travel and retail as a real vital part of what will happen in future. Some of the companies that are really big in international duty-free, airport duty-free, such as Lotte from South Korea, they're starting to put in place downtown duty-free stores. I think they have one in Melbourne, they have one in Tokyo. They're looking at opening three in Vietnam over the next year. Now, what that will do is that make duty-free much more easy, much more convenient, and much more, you can access it much more quickly because it'll be in the town center. You won't just have to buy your products at the airport. I think also we've seen a huge growth in cultural and niche development of retail products across the year. In all countries of Southeast Asia, we've seen some real innovation in handicrafts, the way people are actually making new products to sell. So that makes retail more culturally connective, and inbound travelers will definitely pick up on that, I think. They'll also want unique and exclusive items and gourmet and gastronomic items as well. So that brings to the end my presentation. What I've tried to do here is just show you a little bit about how consumers are thinking and rethinking travel in future. Now, everything that I've said here is a bit of a snapshot. Everything is going to change. If you read any consumer survey from 6 or 8 months ago and you read one from now, obviously, people's perceptions have changed. The vaccines will do even more to change perceptions, although, as we've said before, vaccine rollouts are still quite slow. But I think as we move into 2022, when travel does become hopefully a little bit more free and more available again, we will start to see consumers thinking differently, behaving differently, and most importantly, traveling differently.